Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
In the car. Start it up. All right, here we go. Back for another daily drive. I hope you've enjoyed the other content that I've been putting up and the extra stuff I've got going on. Welcome back to the show. I wanted to talk on today's daily drive about the next Elder Scrolls game. And I promise I'm going to get to some what-if topics and things like that at some point. I absolutely will. But there was something that occurred to me, as some of you have known. I've been streaming playthroughs of Skyrim recently. Well, not whole playthroughs, but I've been attempting to get into Skyrim with a combination of modded, like super modded Wabbajack mod packs for PC, which have thousands of mods. And then seeing if I can get the paid DLC, the Bard's College, to also work with those. And it's been tricky getting all of that stuff to work together. I might just have to play through the Bard's College with a minimal mod setup in order to get it to work. But my point is, in doing this, some things have occurred to me. I've tried a few different mod packs with graphics overhauls and updates to even the way dungeons are laid out and the number of items you can find and the kinds of items you can find. And they revamp everything from combat to how you sell things and how you level up and all of these other details, right? And that's no surprise. There are lots of mods that do lots of different kinds of things, and everybody knows about that. But my experience so far has been that with so many mods, So many mods. Like, there was one mod pack I tried called Lorim that came out recently. It has over 5,000, I believe, or 3,500. I think it was 3,500. 3,500 mods. And that experience is distinctly different than vanilla Skyrim. And I know that's like a no duh moment, but my point is that experience, or even playing the one with 1,000 mods, makes Skyrim feel like a game that came out this year. The graphics are completely up to date. The quality of the textures, the lighting, they're not 100% perfect. I mean, they're still mods, so they're a little glitchy, but not by any serious measure at all. And it doesn't get in the way of the playability of the games. And then the components they add in, like, you walk into, for example, I walked into the Blue Palace just, I don't know, an hour ago when I was playing. And the level of detail was phenomenal. The amount of, like, specially sculpted, like, wooden objects and the wallpaper even. And then on top of it, the number of items, the kinds of things that you could find in the Blue Palace, the people that walk around, everything felt more busy and realized as this, like, real location. And the reason I was there was because I was finishing up the original Bard's College quest, where you have to go get the poem, and then you have to present the poem to the aristocracy or whatever, or your buddy, the bard guy, does it. And while he's doing that, I went around and snuck around the rest of the palace, and the number of items on the shelves that you could steal, all of the potions, all of the things hidden in their locked cabinets, it was so much more immersive and felt like a real place. And I think that this experience is going to color our experience when it comes to The Elder Scrolls 6, whenever that comes out. Because for the first time in Bethesda's history, and they're competing against this experience, is really where I'm going. It's not that they're competing against mods and modded experiences, because mods have been around in their games for a very, very long time. And it would be true to say that anybody playing Skyrim had the potential of modding Oblivion before Skyrim came out, because Oblivion mods existed before Skyrim came out. All of that stuff is true, but it's the scale of it. We're at this point where if you download 3,000 mods and play it, you're getting a modern game experience. And the scale is amazing. And modders have been adding these things into the game for a decade now. And I don't... I guess the best way to say it is I feel kind of bad for the developers working at Bethesda, because now you have to compete with a combination of the game that you made, which was already, in some people's minds, the greatest RPG ever created. It has sold millions and millions of copies, like 60 million copies at this point. Everybody and their mother, including my mother, has played it, because I did the, you know, Skyrim with my mom series. I mean, I'm the one who played, but she made the decisions. And it's just an incredible feat to go up against that to begin with. But then you add on over a decade of modding and the experiences that people will be getting over that time period, and the expectations for Elder Scrolls 6 are going to be through the moon. Add on top of it the fan base that has grown due to Fallout releasing Fallout 4 and Fallout 76, and even though 76 didn't do very well when it first came out, it has done a lot better, especially since the TV show and all the most recent updated mods, or not mods, updated... updates to the game and all the new content they've been adding to it. So that game's doing really well. You have Starfield, which came out, which updated the engine and some of the mechanics and the way that they can do things in a Bethesda game has definitely been increased, but also expectations have been increased. People see what that engine can do and what they're continuing to add to it and what people have been modding for that. And then on top of that, you've got a decade of Elder Scrolls Online adding in all of this lore, all of these locations, details, so many details. And now we have Elder Scrolls 6 they're working on. And one of the things that occurs to me is not only do we have all of these new people who are going to have these expectations from all the stuff that I just mentioned, but also you have zones that already exist in ESO. So if you are going to go back to either Hammerfell or Daggerfall or the Iliac Bay, any of those regions, they're already mapped out. And you could say, yes, they were already mapped out in, say, the other older Elder Scrolls games, but not really. I mean, those were kind of like, okay, you've got a village here and a city here, and then you also have this gigantic landmass that's just been generated by the computer. It's not very detailed, but when you get to ESO, we know where everything is in some of those zones. We know every little hill, every little village, every other location that you can go to. And so they're going to have all of these standards that they're building on top of. Imagine trying to build out any of those zones and they already exist in ESO. And yeah, we're jumping ahead hundreds of years. This will be most likely in the fourth era. ESO is in the second era. So those locations can absolutely change. In fact, you could have a catastrophic event that means that, you know, I mean, you could write in a volcano or something crazy, you know, earthquakes that readjust where the land masses are a little bit and maybe, you know, level or raise some hills or mountains. And you could have forests growing in other places. But you generally, you have to follow through with the scope of what already is there. And that applies not just to map making. Map making is just one little example of what that's like. That applies to expectations for the whole game. The whole game. It's incredible to think about what they're going up against and the amount of content they're going to have to make. One of the things that really hit it home for me with this concept was the sheer detail of the texture work that was done with the mods. So if you go to any of the locations that you're familiar with, let's say you're walking into, let's just talk about Solitude some more because I was just there. When you're walking into Solitude, not only are there more stalls, like where people have shops and there's NPCs walking around and things like that, But if you just go up to the front gate and you look at the detail of the front gate and you compare that to the original detail from vanilla Skyrim, and it's not even comparable. And I get it. Like, when you are part of a team and you have to get a game out and you only have so much time to do it, you're going to make only so many different variations of wooden doors or whatever in order to just kind of use them places, and you're going to put them wherever they make sense. And then if you have some extra time, you're going to do some of the custom work for specific doors that are a little bit more memorable or important. So, for example, the doors to a palace or the front gates to a specific city or whatever. But if you compare the front gate of Solitude in vanilla to the front gate in any of the expansions that update that, it's completely different. In the one that I was playing today, Elysium on Wabajack, if you want to look it up, the front gate had this intricate detail of the symbol for Solitude, which I believe is like a wolf's face. And it's a metal component that is on the gate and acts like a knocker. And then there's other symbols and things like etched in the gate. The level of detail is incredible. Now, when you're a modder and you're somebody who is taking on a modding project, you can build it to whatever the scope is of your ability and your time. You can just create a mod that updates the one singular front gate. And you could spend dozens of hours working on textures and shaping it through the geometry and those kinds of things in order to do a single gate. But when you're part of an actual development team, you have lots of responsibilities. If you are the artist who has to do all of those gates, then your job is to get through that work as efficiently as you possibly can. You want to do a good job. You want to make them look really good. But you also don't have an endless amount of time. If you're somebody who's a hobbyist, then you don't have a goal necessarily unless you make one for yourself. If you decide, you know what, I want to get this mod up by the end of the month, then you're going to work to get it up by the end of the month and you're going to put it up. But then if you decide a few months later to come back and improve it some more, you can, because you're a modder. You didn't have to worry about a launch date or anything like that. And if you want to expand the scope to all of the gates, and then eventually you do all the gates, and then you're like, okay, let's do all the doors in the game. Then you can revise all the doors in the game. But when it comes to being part of a development team, you have very specific goals and you need to move on to other stuff. Because if you're the person who's doing the texture work for the doors, then you're probably also the person who's doing the texture work for the walls and the ceilings and the outsides of buildings and all of these other things. And so you have to do as good a job as you can in order to get all this work out. And that's my point, is that we're now going to have to compare a final product that was part of a big development team. Probably, I believe I've heard the numbers are over 200 developers working on this over, I'm going to assume we're going to have a total of 4 or 5 years of work before this actually launches. And you have to compare that to thousands of modders over a decade. And sure, they're not working 40-hour weeks. They're not really, and heck, they probably don't have crunch the same way that the team has crunch and those kinds of things. But it still doesn't calculate out to the same amount of total ability to do work. And that's my point. My point is that it's a tall order. Getting the Elder Scrolls VI to compete with a fully modded Skyrim with thousands of mods will be very difficult. And I absolutely guarantee that there will be content creators out there who, when the game launches, will pull up modded Skyrim and compare it. Because there's always somebody who's going to compare it. Somebody's going to do a look back at all the Elder Scrolls games in the series and how they compare when you look at similar things or similar places or whatever, right? Somebody's going to make that video. And the comparison to Daggerfall is going to be cute because it's like, well, that was 1990s. Graphics with these flat textures and all of these other crazy things that we really have moved past, you know, even a decade ago. But when you compare it to modded Skyrim, it's going to be distinct and similar in a lot of ways. And then there are going to be people who say, look at the door to Solitude in this mod. Now look at the door to whatever the main city is in Elder Scrolls 6. There's no comparison. And the fallout from that will be fallout. Bethesda fallout. The fallout from that will be that there will be a lot of people on the internet, because this is how this works, who all go, oh my God, they're so lazy. Thanks, Todd, blah, 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 blah. And people are going to be up in arms because certain aspects that are cherry picked from Elder Scrolls 6 will not match the level of detail or the quality or whatever from modded Skyrim. And I'm sure as a developer, that has to be on your mind. And I'm not a developer. I've worked for startup companies and marketing companies. One of the companies I worked for, I managed communications back and forth with our development team, who was an external team that we hired to work on mobile apps. That was part of my job. I was the guy who communicated back and forth with them. I gave them requirements for the next build, and then we got the next build back. I would test it. I would compare it to what we had and what we were shooting for. I would give them comments and updates on it, and then we would move forward, right? So in that way, I've worked in product development that has something to do with the development of games, but it is not nearly on the scale that you would see at a company like Bethesda. So I can't say that I've been in their shoes. What I can say is that I've had enough professional experience to understand the concern.
Big thank you to our sponsor for today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world taking place in the world known as Tamaris. Team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction, arrange your city as you see fit, and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle. A variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Tamaris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder orcs, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. Oh, and please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magic artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport, or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Tamaris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra, and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack. Set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
And to be in enough of those kinds of meetings to know exactly what kinds of conversations happen when it comes to building a product and expectations. And I can guarantee that this conversation has happened behind closed doors. Not because I've been there, but because they're smart people and they understand that they are not just building a game to compete with their past products and to compete with competitors and any other variations of RPGs that have come out recently, like Baldur's Gate 3, but they are also competing with the modding community. And that has got to feel like a double-bladed sword, like a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, modding keeps the game alive. Like, Skyrim would not still be played today at the scale that it is if the modding community wasn't there. It is the most modded game ever. And yet, it creates these crazy requirements for the next Elder Scrolls game. And I have to wonder if this doesn't play into some of their decision-making about how they wanted to go about which main games in the series they wanted to tackle in what order. I'm sure that calculation had something to do with ESO doing well. And so therefore that gives people something Elder Scrolls to do in the meantime. It had to do with the fact that they went from Skyrim to Fallout 4 because they needed to do another Fallout entry. It was time to do that. It made sense to them. And it also was, I'm sure, calculated in that they wanted to do something else to improve the game engine and to knock out a space game like Starfield, because Todd was feeling like, hey, this is my opportunity to do that. And if I don't do it now, I may not ever get the chance. I totally get all of that. But I would have to imagine that somewhere in the back of their minds, they're going, how do we create a sequel to Skyrim, the game that has blown away records across the board, that everybody still plays, and the modding community continues to improve? And I'm not sure how you do that. Now, I do have some ideas about how you could attempt to accomplish some of this. Some of them I think they're already implementing. So, for example, when it comes to mods, oftentimes you hear them talk about hiring people from the mod team. They actually hire modders. They give them jobs and they bring them into the studios, and those same modders who designed that Solitude door or whatever, I'm just making up an example, are now working for the team. And so they're bringing that expertise and their specific skills and I guess enthusiasm, you could say, into the next Elder Scrolls game, which is absolutely great. But you can't hire every modder. And I'm sure some of those modders are professional. They are people who have worked in video games before. They understand what it means to work for a studio. They understand what it means to try to hit goals and deadlines. But I'm sure some of those people have not been in that situation. They're hobbyists and they have completely other careers. And so you have complications. You've got to get those people up to speed. You have to get them to understand that they have to output a certain amount of content in a certain amount of time, and they have to move on to the next project and all of that. You have to manage these people, and management and those decisions around personalities for that are going to be part of a team is complex, and it's difficult, right? So although you could say hiring modders would be a solution, it's not a perfect and easy solution. It's something that you have to manage. And you could argue the point that, yeah, they're a business and every business has to do that. Yes, absolutely. But it is, my point is, it's more difficult and complicated than it actually seems when you just come up with the answer on the surface. This is something that I've learned over the years, is that usually the commoner solution, somebody with an amateur amount of experience, when they say, hey, you know what, here's the solution for this problem or whatever, oftentimes the solution seems easy to them because they don't understand the full complexity of the problem and the complexity of what that solution might entail. So that's part of it as well. So I think that's one thing they can do, is they can hire modders, which they've been doing. I think another thing they can do is take a look at the number of downloads and which mods are most popular and which ones get used over and over and over again, especially in these like Wabbajack mod packs. Because if you're somebody who's working on a Wabbajack mod pack, something that has hundreds or even thousands of mods, that is a complex task. That's going to take you a lot of time. You're going to have to handpick every mod. You're going to have to figure out how to get them to work in the load order, how to get them to work well with the other mods that you've chosen. It is not a small task. It takes a lot of time. And so if somebody's going to take the amount of time to do that and to really focus in on that as a project, then they're going to make very specific decisions around which mods they include and which ones they don't. Some of those decisions will simply be chosen because they're the easier one to use, but a lot of them will be chosen because of the quality. Somebody who takes hundreds of hours to develop a Wabbajack mod pack is not going to want people trying out their mod pack and going, well, this part sucks. They're going to be picking a lot of the mods that work for the thing that they want to do the best. And so whether they're doing a vanilla plus version of a mod, a graphic overhaul mod, or even a totally different experience kind of mod, something that plays more akin to Dark Souls or something like that, they're going to be very specific about which mods they choose and why. And so if I was Bethesda, I would keep an eye on the total number of downloads and endorsements on the Nexus page where you download all the mods to see which ones are the most popular with the community that aren't the not safe for work ones, because let's face it, they're not going to be putting out what the not safe for work crowd is modding into Skyrim is not really part of their plans, I don't think, for the next Elder Scrolls game. So outside of those, I have a feeling that that would be a good idea. Get a sense. So when you do have variations on how mods have updated the size and scope and scale of a city, then take a look at the ones that are enjoyed the most, the ones that are highly endorsed and highly downloaded, the ones that show up on multiple Wabbajack mod packs, and make a note of that. And then go look at the density of that city, see how well that is implemented and in what ways, and then use that as a starting point. Because if you are developing Elder Scrolls 6 and you go back and look at the things you did in Elder Scrolls 5 in regards to something like city density, you're already doing the same work that the modders did in trying to determine what would be a better solution to this problem. And a lot of that city density stuff, like this is just an example for city density, but this could apply to other types of things you would be modding and improving. The density of cities in Skyrim was dependent on a few things. One of them was the game engine, the amount of RAM that you have in a console, the amount of hard drive space that you were willing to allocate, all of that stuff, and just performance, the ability to have so many things on the screen at the same time in order to make sure that the game still works. So there are tech limitations for why the cities are the way they are. Clearly, those tech limitations have gone away in a lot of ways because we now have PCs, and even a moderate PC with those kinds of improvements to the size and density of a city can run those mods today. So you don't have to do the work again. You just have to look at the people who have already done the work and go, oh, this is the scope and scale of this. So as long as we match this or do better than it, then we're going to have something that the community is going to look positively on. Because our expectations are so much higher than they used to be. And I wish they weren't. You know, I wish for the sake of the developers and the teams at Bethesda, because I know they all work very hard. I know they love these franchises, and I'm sure the vast majority of the people who work on these games absolutely love them. But our expectations, like if we're just improving on a game that's 12 years old, we're just going to be able to maybe get up to the same bar that the modders are at already. And that's my concern. I think that that must be a scary thing. So there's got to be ways that the people on the team can make these improvements and start from a place that's not just going back to Skyrim and saying, okay, well, how do we turn this up to 11? No, start with the mods. Look at the mods, turn them up to 11. And if that's something that you can put into the scope of your game design, great. And if it's not, then of course you have to do a cost-benefit analysis. You have to decide which ones are the most important, and they all know how to do that. And I guess, where does this lead me? Like, at the end of this kind of daily drive rambling, where are we at? And I think where I'm at is I would rather wait another year or two extra for an Elder Scrolls 6 that clearly blows away everyone and sets a new standard even higher in the most important ways than the modding community has raised Skyrim to. I would rather wait for extra time for that to happen than have the game out earlier. And God knows I would love another mainline Elder Scrolls game. But having something come out earlier that the world just craps on because, well, this modder already did this and it was better when they did it. And there's no way of escaping that completely. So don't get me wrong. Like, that's going to happen. And my hope is that that happens on stupid things, on like the things that don't matter so much. Like, look at this door handle. Look at the texture detail in the mod of the door handle. Like, that doesn't really matter. You know what really does matter is having a better level up system, is having more dense and interesting city locations, is having overall higher polygon counts and quality of textures, and especially lighting, and maybe even things like physics and magic effects and things like that. The kinds of things that really hit everyone. And then on top of all of that, having a world that feels handcrafted with hundreds and hundreds of quests and side quests and things to explore and special magical items. If this game comes out, if Elder Scrolls 6 comes out and it knocks all of that stuff out of the park and gives players the freedom to be immersed in a world in a way that we've never really experienced before, on a scope that's greater than anything we've experienced and more than what the modders have done, then this game could become the fantasy platform for everything moving forward. Because at some point, you just can't make the graphics look any better. You're pushing up on, you know, matching reality, and it's good enough. And you're pushing up on all the other functional parts of the engine, the ability to talk to people, the ability to feel like you're in an immersive world, the ability to pick up every item you see, all of that stuff. And if all of that stuff is at a level where you are really, really at diminishing returns because increasing the quality by another 2% isn't going to even make a noticeable difference, then now you have a platform that you can build Elder Scrolls 7 on. And sure, you'll get some graphics increases and whatever on Elder Scrolls 7, but if it's truly a platform that you can build anything on, and the modding community can continue building things, and Bethesda can keep putting out paid mods that increase the scope or even give you new places, new locations. Like, I don't see why Elder Scrolls 6 and the next Fallout game can't be endlessly iterated on with DLC content from Bethesda. Why not? In much the same way that ESO is, like, yes, ESO is getting a little long in the tooth, but what they've been able to do with a bunch of starter zones when the game launched, and then adding in all of these DLC zones, and they just keep the game going. The game just keeps going. And yeah, they have a subscription. It's an MMO style thing and all of that. I get it. That's how MMOs work. But what if the Elder Scrolls 6 worked in a very similar way? What if we start in Hammerfell, but then they drop an expansion the next year, and all of a sudden we're in Daggerfall, and then they drop another expansion, and we're in Skyrim, but it's 300 years after the events of Elder Scrolls 5. That would be phenomenal. What if every time they drop these, we get another 50 or 100 quests, and year after year after year, they just keep adding more content and more locations, the same way ESO has? Would you buy those expansions? I would. I think most people would. That would be amazing. So I think those are some of the things they can do to adjust and to deal with the high requirements of what people would want. Let's just put it that way. I also think the other thing they need to really do is improve some of the combat. I think the in-combat improvements in some of the mods are very well done and should be informing some of their decisions when it comes to updating combat and that kind of thing. So there you go. That's my daily drive rant. I'm now in the car line just waiting to pick up my son. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening to my thoughts. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. So if you're listening wherever, if you're listening on the Patreon, then comment on the Patreon. If you are part of the Discord community, then comment on there. Let me know what you think. Is this an impossible task, or is it just something that is something they need to really pay attention to? Thanks for being here. I'll see you next time.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.